Fasten your seatbelt and get ready for the red eye.
Each week, we'll be immersing you in a world of adventure, from thrilling dramas to side-splitting humor and life-altering moments. Welcome aboard the Red Eye. Crew will have a good time wherever they go. They can sit by a pool after a flight and share stories along with cheap wine and chips from the nearest Trader Joe's. They can party in a hotel room until the early hours, or even on a bus if the journey is long enough and someone has made some bus juice. They can find an Irish bar in most big cities, or a rooftop bar with a great happy hour for those on the gram. It's a well-known saying that we can have a champagne lifestyle on a lemonade income, and never is this more true than when we find ourselves staying at five-star resorts on Caribbean islands, places that we could probably not afford on our wages. And not only that, when those hotels are all-inclusive of food and drink, well, it would be rude not to make the most of it, wouldn't it? So, make the most of it, we do. All the while, trying not to do anything too stupid and get in trouble with our airlines for bad behaviour. Nobody wants to be hauled in for a meeting with tea but no biscuits. But we can't be held responsible for the people who decide to join in, can we?
Well, weather looks all right to me,
said the man opposite Chelsea at the L3 door. He was wringing his hands, leaning over his wife to look out of the window. Chelsea couldn't disagree. After the captain's PA just a couple of hours ago and his talk of diverting due to terrible weather in the area, blue skies and sunshine met them in Montego Bay, and they taxied onto stand just ahead of schedule.
Yes, sir, to me too, she said, standing up to disarm her door. We must have just missed it, she smiled, relieved that her 48-hour layover in paradise hadn't been cut short.
She stood at her door and smiled as the passengers she had been serving all flight filed past her. The couple on their honeymoon, the man who had drunk too much and they'd stopped serving alcohol to, the lady who took 8 sugars with her tea.
Goodbye, sir. Goodbye, madam, she repeated until the last one had gone past.
She reached into the overhead lockers and pulled down her bag, taking out her heeled shoes and her sunglasses. Jake was already speeding up the aisle from the back of the plane, pulling his wheelie bag behind him.
Get me to that bar and an espresso martini in my hand, he said, raising an invisible glass.
I hear you, sister, said Chelsea.
The flight had been long and busy, but it would all be worth it when they got to the hotel. It was the nicest one they stayed at, and all-inclusive to boot. She could picture the bar staff's faces now, rolling their eyes as 15 overtired and overexcited crew descended on them, demanding espresso martinis and champagne, as they did night after night after night.
Let's get off, she said, as she zipped up her bag.
The aircraft was empty now, and there was no time to waste.
Last one to the bar gets the shots in,
Jake called over his shoulder in front of her. The next morning, Chelsea stood on her balcony and breathed in deeply. The sea air went some way to clearing her head, but she needed food, and perhaps a Bloody Mary. And then, after breakfast, a dip in the Caribbean Sea to eradicate the last of this hangover. This dehydrated, low-level hangover that always seemed to follow even the smallest amount of drinking after a long flight. They'd all been too tired to stay up late last night, so had succumbed to sleep and made a pact to make the most of it today. The WhatsApp group pinged on her phone.
I've got us a big table for breakfast and ordered 6 mimosas. Come in now, Chelsea messaged back, throwing her sunscreen into her beach bag and slipping her feet into her Havaianas.
Save one of those for me, she added quickly as she left her room.
The mimosas became Bloody Marys, and by the time they made it from the buffet to the beach at around 11 a.m, the group of crew were very much in vacation mode.
Chelsea, have you got a fella?
Jess asked, laying on her side on the daybed next to her, drinking her frozen daiquiri through a straw.
Nah, said Chelsea. I don't have much luck with guys.
Ah, me neither, babe, said Jake over her shoulder.
The girls both laughed.
You'll find one soon enough, said Jess kindly. Aye, so me mam says, Chelsea sighed and rolled her eyes. Her problem wasn't finding them, though. That was the easy part. It was keeping them that was the problem. It seemed that all the guys she met were always the wrong type, the ones who came without strings with which to attach herself to them. She blamed herself mostly. She was naturally excitable. She always got too keen early on and seemed to scare them away before they'd had a chance to fall for her irresistible charms. Well, that was how she saw it anyway. Something caught her eye, and she lifted up her sunglasses to get a better look. "Well, good morning to you," she said quietly, as two tall, broad men in board shorts and rash vests walked right in their direction.
"Ladies," one of them said in greeting, when they were just a few feet away.
"Hello," Jake called back. "We're not all ladies here, you know."
"And gentlemen, I'm so sorry," the man apologised.
Chelsea recognised his northern accent. It reminded her of home, and she noticed that when he smiled, his cheeks dimpled in a super cute way.
"Are you all enjoying your morning?"
he asked.
"We most certainly are," said Marika, lifting her champagne.
5 o'clock somewhere," she winked.
"Always,"
he agreed. Chelsea watched him, admiring this handsome man with his sun-bleached hair and cute but sexy face.
"Anyone up for a spot of diving today?"
he asked, looking directly at her. She shook her head quickly, but couldn't find any words to reply with. Thankfully for her, Jake didn't have the same problem.
"I think we might have gone a bit past that," he giggled. "I don't think it'd be very safe."
"Fair enough," he laughed. "How about a sunset boat cruise then? I can do you a special rate of $80 and include drinks." The crew exchanged looks between themselves, but without saying anything, they knew that they were all thinking the same thing. After a short silence, Marika spoke up on behalf of them all.
"We are all too poor," she laughed.
He squished his eyebrows together like he wasn't really convinced. The truth was, though, that the downside of staying somewhere all-inclusive was that they didn't receive any per diems, and so, if they wanted to spend any money, it would have to come out of their own bank accounts. And why would they do that when they could lay on this beach in 5-star luxury for nothing?
"Yeah,"
added Chelsea, finally finding her voice, the sassy one that popped out sometimes.
"So we have to stay here in this terrible hotel and drink these awful free cocktails, I'm afraid."
"Aw, I feel bad for you," he said with exaggerated sympathy.
"Yeah, it's terrible," she said dryly, shaking her head as she drew a long sip through her straw.
He laughed.
"Well, if you change your minds later, we're at the dive shack just down there."
He pointed down the beach.
"We'd love to see you."
He was staring directly at Chelsea, and she felt her stomach flutter.
"Max?"
His friend had been talking to a couple a few sunbeds up and beckoned him over with his hand.
"Gotta go. Have a great day, guys," he said, giving them a thumbs up. "See you around."
There was a moment's silence as they watched him walk away, broken by a low whistle coming from Jake.
"He can show me his diving gear any time," he said.
Chelsea nodded her agreement. Why couldn't she find a man like that at home? And keep him, she thought in despair. The music was playing now. A party in full swing in the pool behind them. The sun had dropped in the sky as they sat around in a circle, playing a game of Never Have I Ever. Jake took another sip of his drink, like he had on every round so far. It seemed there was nothing this boy hadn't done.
"Jake, you are terrible," howled Jess.
"Oh, babes, I know," he laughed into his glass.
"Mind if we join you?" They all looked up to see the diving guy from earlier. He had changed out of his uniform, as had his friend, who was stood next to him.
"Not at all,"
Jake said, trying his best after all the cocktails to look coy. He moved up on the bed to make room for one of them.
"We aren't supposed to mix with the guests here," Max said as he dropped into the space next to Chelsea. "But you guys seem too much fun."
Losing her words, once again, she smiled and nodded in understanding. It wasn't unfathomable that a bunch of straight guys would be drawn to a bunch of young girls after all, was it? Marika stood up and wrapped her sarong around her.
Well, you've come at the right time, gentlemen, she said. It's my round and I'm going to the bar. And since it's free, I am going to offer to get you one too, she winked. Have anything you like.
For the next hour, they played more games, and for a moment, Chelsea forgot that the diving guys weren't part of the crew. As the sun set, it was Jake that brought the fun to an end.
Captain's booked dinner for 8, he said, reading the message on his phone. 45 minutes from now, people.
Damn, said Jess, jumping up. I need to wash my hair.
Crikey, me too, said Marika.
Hashtag me too, said Chelsea.
She stood up too quickly and her head span. She definitely needed to eat something. Max was looking up at her.
See you around? She asked.
I hope so, he said, with a smile that made her head spin again. It was amazing how different people were after a few drinks, thought Chelsea as she watched the captain gyrate across the dance floor of the hotel's nightclub. The man had some serious rhythm. For someone who had been reluctant to come with them after dinner, well, here he was, owning the floor, like he was the only one on it. Jake was a close second in the dance-off that was unfolding, as one after another they took turns to show what they could do. On the far side, she couldn't help but notice the flight manager and first officer seemed to only have eyes for each other.
Oh my, I think this is my favourite flight so far, shouted Jess over the music.
She was only in her third month with the airline.
Always, agreed Chelsea.
She would take this over a nightstop deli any day, even without the per diems. She would worry about saving up for her own place when she'd grown up, and that wasn't on this year's to-do list. Jake started dancing over towards them, shaking his hips from side to side.
Hoo-hoo,
called Marika, circling her fist in the air. He danced harder the louder she cheered. Suddenly, his face changed. The smile became more seductive, the move smoother. Chelsea looked over her shoulder to where he was looking, her heart jumping when she saw the guys from the dive shack walking over towards them. 4 of them in total, and a girl. Max saw her and smiled, making a beeline straight for them.
I thought you weren't allowed to drink in the hotel, she said, smiling widely.
She wasn't wasted yet, but she was definitely drunk enough to forget about being nervous around him. Max put his finger to his lips.
We are in so much trouble if they see us. We came back in uniform and told security we had a night dive.
Chelsea spluttered a laugh.
You're so naughty. I'll get the drinks in then. Good job they're free, she said, rolling her eyes. You lot just try and blend in.
From the booth on the side of the dance floor, Chelsea and Max watched as their friends danced and flirted. The Australian, who she now knew as Kyle, had seemed to be hitting it off with Marika until she had suddenly disappeared, saying goodnight on the WhatsApp group once she'd got back to her room, alone.
Do you want to tell him she's not coming back?
Asked Chelsea. Max shook his head.
Ah, he'll get over it, he said, putting his hand on her thigh below the table. It felt hot against her bare skin.
I think he's over it already.
Chelsea nudged him and tipped her head in the direction of the dance floor, onto where Jake had pulled a very drunk Kyle. To Chelsea's surprise, it looked like they were getting quite cosy. Or was she imagining it?
Would he?
She asked.
Nah, definitely not.
Max clearly knew what she meant and shook his head. Definitely at first, and then not so much as he too watched them dance.
I don't think he's for turning.
In the way that drunken nights so often are, the decisions we make can seem so much more stupid in the cold light of day.
Shit.
Chelsea opened one eye. Max was sat on the edge of her bed, looking down at his phone, rubbing his hair back and forth with his free hand.
What's happened?
She asked, pulling herself up slowly.
Chris got caught by security. Stupid git tried to bribe the guard.
No,
Will he be in trouble?
She pulled the sheet up across her naked body and ran her fingers under her eyes to remove any old eye makeup. Max nodded without turning around. He'll probably get the sack.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry.
Chelsea's stomach dropped at the thought.
Not your fault.
He stood up now and leaned over to kiss her. Mind if I take a quick shower before work?
Go ahead,
she said, picking up her phone from the bedside table and scrolling through the group chat. Marika had crashed early. There was a rumour that the first officer and flight manager had snuck off together. And Jake... Chelsea stopped scrolling, her eyes wide as she read his account of the night, the bit after Kyle had been persuaded to go back to his room. He went into more detail than she needed to know.
I'll see you down the beach.
Max appeared, dressed in his uniform, and picked up a rucksack that she didn't recall him bringing.
Yeah,
she said, looking up and remembering to smile.
All good?
Max frowned.
Yes, she said. Just hope Chris is okay and you don't all get into trouble.
We'll be okay, he smiled. I'd better be careful now, though. Any chance you can check the coast is clear?
Chelsea got up, wrapping the sheet around her and walked to the door, opening it a little and checking there were no hotel staff in the corridor. You're clear, she said, holding it open to let him out. Back on her bed, Chelsea read Jake's message one more time. Why did things still shock her after all these years? She wondered.
Aren't you going to go talk to him? Chelsea asked Jake.
He shook his head, eyes closed behind his sunglasses. They were laying at the end of the beach nearest to the dive shack today, and she could see Kyle laid on a bench out the front of it. He'd been there since they had arrived after breakfast, and she hadn't seen him move once. Was he just hungover? Or was he troubled by his decisions of the night before? There were no mimosas this morning, nor Bloody Marys, or pina coladas. They had to check out this afternoon, and so, however much they wanted one, it wasn't worth getting sacked for the sake of a cocktail. She thought of poor Chris. Had it been worth getting sacked for the sake of a night with the crew? She checked her phone, her heart skipping when she saw a message from Max.
Hey, it read. Sorry I can't come over. We've all just been dragged in for a grilling. Word got out.
Oh, no, she texted back. Are you in trouble?
Not sure yet. They're making us sweat.
Harsh. At least you haven't been sacked, though, I guess.
Not yet. Anyway, LOL. Are you back soon?
Next week?
Chelsea held her breath as she waited for his reply.
Awesome. Can I see you?
That would be nice, she said, adding a smiling emoji.
What she wanted to say was abso-bloody-lutely, that would be totally freaking awesome. But she didn't want to sound too keen.
What are you smiling at? She turned to see Marika grinning at her. Might have myself a little date with Max, she said with a smile and a wiggle of her shoulders.
Chelsea hadn't expected to be travelling to Negril on her next trip to Jamaica, but as she had just found out that Max and his team were soon leaving the island for Mexico, she had been persuaded to join him on the two-hour drive. Besides, they'd needed to go somewhere if they wanted to be together, as neither him or any of his friends were going to risk hanging out with a flight attendant in the hotel again anytime soon.
Perhaps you can get on a flight to Cancun, he said casually, his arm around her in the back of the taxi.
She was looking out of the window while he looked straight ahead.
Perhaps, you never know,
she said just as casually back.
Maybe we can meet up when I'm back in the UK.
That would be nice,
she said, biting her lip now, trying to stop the smile from spreading over her entire face.
Play it cool, she told herself. Don't act too keen.
They made small talk as they walked along the beach that evening and ate dinner at Rick's Cafe. To anyone who saw them, Chelsea was sure they looked like the perfect couple, the type of couple that she herself dreamed of being part of.
So anyway, what happened about last week in the end?
She asked, shaking off the thought as they sat side by side and watched people jump off the cliffs into the sea. Max huffed a laugh.
So, we all got a written warning, he said, and we had to go into a meeting with the hotel management to apologise and beg them not to sack us. Oh, and we nearly lost the Mexico contract, but they decided at the last minute to let us keep it.
Oops. Chelsea laughed nervously. Sorry.
Hmm, he said, putting his arm around her. Apparently, our reputation is already ahead of us in Mexico.
You should be proud of that, said Chelsea with a grin, making him laugh. How was Kyle, anyway? She asked after a while.
He looked broken the day we left. She had been wondering since she got back whether he had told any of the guys what had happened with Jake, or if he had just pretended it didn't.
Yeah, he was a bit distracted for a few days, now you mention it, Max said thoughtfully. He laughed and shook his head. You flight attendants are dangerous to drink with.
Chelsea nodded. Yes, she agreed. It seems like we are.
He turned and looked at her, staring straight into her eyes. It was all worth it, though, he said.
At the point of writing this story, Chelsea and Max continue to talk across the globe, and we hear that they have recently met up for a date in London while he was home on leave. Who knows what the future holds for them? But us romantics at the Red Eye are hoping for the happiest of endings. For Jake and Kyle, too.
The Red Eye podcast is produced and narrated by me, Ali Murphy. These stories are based on true events, but certain details, characters, and timelines have been altered to protect the innocent. Visit our website, theredeyepod.com, to subscribe to our newsletter and to find out details on how you can contribute your story for us to turn into an episode. If you enjoyed listening to our stories, please like, subscribe, and review. Thank you.